Hello, everyone, and welcome to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio, radio for the rest of us. My name is Elaine Summerfield, host of Inspire Indeed, where we discuss community issues and hear from the nonprofits and local leaders who are working to address them. And hopefully you'll be inspired to think about how you're making a difference with your deeds. Now, I'm sure listeners have noticed more attention paid to bikes these days. We're seeing those sharrows, you know, those arrows and bikes painted in the roads. Bike racks aren't quite as rare as they once were, and there's lots more bicycle shops in the market now, and just in general, there are more people on bikes out there than there were a few years ago. We also have that major international bike event coming up in 2015 that you may have heard about, so a lot of people are spinning their gears getting ready for that. This Thursday evening at the Science Museum of Virginia, the Partnership for Smarter Growth and Bike Walk RVA, which is a program of sports backers, they'll be co-hosting an educational interactive forum called A Look into the Richmond Region's Bike Future. And today on Inspire Indeed, we have the co-hosts of the forum here to share more details and talk about what's in store for bicycling in Richmond. Breanne Mullen is Executive Director of Partnership for Smarter Growth. Welcome, Breanne.
Thanks for having me.
Great to have you. And Max Hep Buchanan is the Director of Bike Walk RVA at Sportsbackers. Thanks for being here, Max.
Thanks for inviting us.
Yeah. Well, why don't we start with you, Max, and Bike Walk RVA. Could you share a little about why Sportsbackers has positioned itself to play a lead role in Richmond with regards to biking and walking?
Sure. So Sportsbackers is obviously known for doing citywide events that get people out and active. We do the Monument Avenue 10K. We recently did an open streets event called Streets Alive. We do the marathon, bike events, and so on. And the goal of Bike Walk RVA is really to get all of these active people to incorporate walking and biking as part of their daily transportation habits. So rather than training for a big ride and going out and doing it on the weekend, actually making biking part of how you live, work, and play, so that it's not just recreation or competition, but really just a part of your daily life.
Part of everyday life. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So in looking at that goal of making biking and walking a part of everyday life, like the benefits, I guess, I mean, obviously there are benefits related to health and wellness, and is that part of Sportsbackers' goal?
Yeah, I mean, our mission is powering an active RVA, so there is definitely a personal health and wellness aspect to it. I guess the big thing that sets Bike Walk RVA aside is that we're really focused on the infrastructure that allows people to do that type of activity. So things like protected places to ride a bike so that you can bike to the grocery store with your family in tow or by yourself, go to the park, go to the library, all by bike or on foot. We actually need, you know, sidewalks, safe intersections to cross, bike lanes, bike walk streets, what mm-hmm. have you. There's lots of different ways to do it, but the goal is really to make it feel comfortable.
Right, comfortable, and you can feel safe and secure when you're out there. Right. So when you talk about infrastructure, you're talking about the actual places, and it could be parks, it could be streets, and so that makes me think that you need to call on a lot of different partners to make that happen.
Yeah. There's a lot of different partners, and one of the first things that I did when I came to Richmond back in March was get all of the bike advocacy or bike-related groups in the same room and kind of figure out what our priorities are and how we can work together going forward to help build a bikeable Richmond.
Yeah, and that's a diverse group of voices because you have people that are doing the competition, bicycling, people who are looking at bike advocacy from a Partnership for Smarter Growth, from a smart growth aspect of how do we conserve our resources. And then there are people that are out there tearing up the trails on the weekend.
We cover the gamut.
Yeah.
We've got Richmond Moore, who focuses on the dirt trails. There are great mountain biking trails. Richmond 2015, the organization who's bringing the World Championships of Road Cycling to town. We've got the Virginia Capital Trail Foundation, Richmond Tri Club, Ride Richmond, Virginia Bicycling Federation. I mean, the list goes on.
Great. So you're gathering those voices together to maybe have a unified voice related to advocacy for biking infrastructure.
Yep.
Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
Great. And you said you just got here in March. Is that right?
Yep.
Yeah. And you came from Seattle, I understand.
Yep.
Well, you know, Seattle's a pretty bicycle friendly community. So what in the world were you thinking coming to Richmond, Virginia? What inspired you to take on this challenge?
Well, the fact that it was a challenge, I guess, mm-hmm. really helped. Seattle's made a lot of progress in the past few years that I was lucky enough to be a part of, and I felt really invested in it. But when I was offered the job at Sportsbackers, it really gave us the opportunity to experience another part of the country, which we've always wanted to. We had a 5-month-old at the time when we moved, and it was sort of a big transition period already. So
so just add another thing to the
Let's just do it all at once.
Yeah, great. Well, if you're just joining us, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And today we're hearing from Max Hep Buchanan, who is the director of Bike Walk RVA, which is a program of Sports Backers, as well as Brianne Mullen of Partnership for Smarter Growth. And before we move on to hear from you, Brianne, you've been very patient listening to what Max has to share. Thank you. Max, could you share with our listeners where they can learn more about Bike Walk RVA?
Yeah, you can go to sportsbackers.org/bike-walk-RVA.
bike-walk.rva at the Sportsbackers website. So if you were just Googling, you could Google Sportsbackers and navigate to it that way.
Yeah, there's a drop-down menu.
Great. So what are some of the things that Bike Walk is really focused on then? You talked about getting some people together to create a unified voice. What are some other goals of Bike Walk RVA?
So we have a regional focus. So we're looking not just at the city of Richmond, but also Henrico County and Chesterfield County. And trying to figure out how we can have an integrated network that crosses those lines so that you can bike from Richmond to Short Pump or from, you know, somewhere in Henrico down to Pocahontas Park for the upcoming Ride Center or to visit the park. So it's really about making those connections across the lines.
Across the whole region. Great. Yeah. Now, Brianne Wallen, you're the director of Partnership for Smarter Growth, which is also hosting the Bike Forum this Thursday. Can you tell us a little bit about Partnership for Smarter Growth's work and how the future of bicycling in the region fits in as a priority for you?
Sure. So Partnership for Smarter Growth, or PSG, is really the only nonprofit in the Richmond region that takes a comprehensive look at the interconnection between transportation, land use, and the environment. And we do that by bringing together citizens and leaders and stakeholders in these educational forums, like the upcoming one, to collaborate and act to make a better Richmond region. So for this year, our forum series is focusing on transportation and how those choices affect our everyday lives. So PSG supports transportation choices that increase the region's physical, financial, and environmental health. And so obviously biking ties directly into that. Increased biking will increase the community's physical health. It can increase the environmental health by eliminating some of the emissions from automobile traffic. And it also can increase financial health when you look at the kinds of investments that businesses make in high bike and pedestrian traffic areas.
Can you talk a little bit more about that financial piece? Because I think it's pretty easy to understand the health benefits of mm-hmm. bicycling and the environmental benefits of having fewer cars on the road, but sometimes it's harder to put together the pieces when we look at financial outcomes or benefits of it.
Sure. So if you imagine, let's say, a strip mall where the only real safe access to the shops there is by car, you're really eliminating the neighborhoods around that area that are close enough to walk or bike because they could get to that place easier, and they might make a different choice of where to shop because they can't get to that place except by car.
So if you're looking at choices between stores and you have mm-hmm. one that's around the corner, but it's hard to get to without your car,
right.
And you're going to be getting in your car anyways. You might choose the store that's 6 miles away.
Exactly.
Because you're driving, doing stuff on your car
right.
anyway.
You might choose the Target off of 295 instead of a local grocery store or down the street.
Mm-hmm.
So by making investments in bike and pedestrian infrastructure like sidewalks and bike lanes, we not only make it safer for bicyclists and pedestrians to get to those destinations, but we increase the likelihood that people will actually go to those places and use those modes of transportation. And that in turn, you know, influences the business's financial growth. It increases the pedestrian activity in the area, making a better looking and safer neighborhood for everyone to use. So those are really the larger goals that PSG has when we focus on bike infrastructure improvements.
So it's really a really logical tie for Partnership for Smarter Growth to be looking at that, because like you said, you're looking at a comprehensive approach to how we're developing our communities.
Right? Yes, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And today we're talking about the future of bicycling in our community. And Brianne, tell our listeners where they can learn more about Partnership for Smarter Growth.
Sure. You can go to psgrichmond.org, or you can just Google Partnership for Smarter Growth. We've got some great resources on our website if anyone is ever interested in our events or getting involved in the public planning process. We also have all our contact information on the website as well.
And earlier, Max was talking about the making those infrastructure connections across the region. Mm-hmm. And I gather that's a lot of what you're looking at as well, not just jurisdiction by jurisdiction, but how all those pieces fit together.
Yes, definitely. And I think that this bike forum, we have representatives from across the region in Henrico and Chesterfield in the city and in the nonprofit world who are going to be part of the panel. So that really speaks directly to PSG's mission of bringing those jurisdictions together to create the most efficient and effective solutions.
So for folks that may not have heard the top of the show, the forum, one of you want to describe what the forum is going to be like, and that's coming up on Thursday evening?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. So it's actually piggybacking off of a trip that Sportsbacker organized to Washington, D.C. and Arlington to look at bicycle infrastructure and pedestrian infrastructure. We loaded up a bus of 50 people, elected officials, jurisdictional staff, and advocates from around the region to go do sort of a study trip up there to see what they're doing right and what we can learn. So this forum is an opportunity for us to report back to the community. So we'll have, like Brianne said, we'll have a panel of representatives from the region talking about what they're doing to advance walking and biking infrastructure, mostly biking, I guess, in this forum. But we're also going to have Jim Sebastian, who is the bike program manager for Washington, D.C., speak as our special guest and talk a lot about the lessons that we can learn from D.C. and how the bike infrastructure there has evolved over time.
How it's evolved over time. And it has to start somewhere. I mean, sometimes mm-hmm. I think we look at our community and we think, oh, well, what are we going to do? Because it's such a big issue to tackle or such a big challenge, but you have to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. So you're going to have this panel of people discussing the issues, looking at different steps that are being taken. So can you share a little bit about what steps you've seen in terms of progress for bike infrastructure in the past, maybe the past year or so?
In Richmond specifically?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, I think last night's city council hearing was a good example of things getting off the ground. There were a couple of resolutions on the consent agenda that were up for debate, and both of them focused on funding of some pretty high impact bike projects. One is a protected bike lane couplet downtown on Franklin and Main, and then the other would be a connection from the North Side neighborhood down to the Virginia Capitol Trail. And the fact that those sailed through is a really good sign. And the pursuit of funding is always the first step for things like this.
Mm-hmm. And so when you say a bike lane couplet, is that what the term you use?
Sorry, yeah. So we have two one-way streets downtown, Main and Franklin. And likely, well, what's planned is a one-directional bike lane on each of those streets so that if you're going, I guess it would be east, you would be mm-hmm. traveling on Main. And then if you're going west, maybe I mixed that up,
well,
but you
gotcha,
get the
gotcha.
Idea.
Yeah, I get the idea. So is this going to impact the ability to park on the streets?
It shouldn't. I mean, the plans are still in the mm-hmm. works. There's a lot of you know, attention that has to be paid to that. But the idea is to take any excess space that's not being used already and see if
and
you
create
can,
that bike lane.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, I think that's part of what we need to look at as a community is, you know, I mentioned earlier that we have those sharrows and some people don't know at all what they are, you know, and so you can kind of have some public officials on board with these changes and start to think about how we can line up some funding from the public sector to make some of these projects happen. But there's this whole culture of the community around us that, you know, they see a bike in the middle of, I was actually talking about it the other day, and somebody thought that the bike painted in the road was some kind of advertisement for 2015. So there's still a lot of education that needs to take place in the general community. How is that going to happen?
Well, to speak to the sharrows, I mean, the fact that cyclists and drivers alike are often confused by them kind of points to their lack of effectiveness in some instances. I think sharrows can be used in certain contexts where it's appropriate, but just putting it in the middle of the lane on a 35-mile-an-hour street doesn't necessarily change the physical environment for the cyclist or for the driver. So the idea is really to figure out ways where we can fit in protected places to ride. Bike lanes are pretty self-explanatory. Even if you've never seen one, if you see one on the street, you almost know how it's going to be used just by looking at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when it's clearly has a line demarcating where it's set apart from the rest of traffic. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But like you said, that would take an investment. So part of what Partnership for Smarter Growth, are you also looking at those types of policies and working with your parties, your members to think about how to influence those policies?
Definitely. So at the forum on Thursday, we'll actually have a little postcard that attendees will pick up that basically asks their local elected officials to see how they can get additional funding for these bike infrastructure projects. And Partnership for Smarter Growth will definitely continue on with that so-called ask by, you know, distributing it to everyone that possibly couldn't make it to the forum. We're going to be doing more events this year on transportation and circling back to the bike infrastructure question as well as others. So I think that the follow-up to these kinds of forums is our main focus and where I think the most action can come from.
Okay, so is there still room to register for the forum?
There is. I think we have a couple of spaces left. It is filling up really fast, but you can go to rvabikeforum.eventbrite, that's BRITE.com, and register, or you can also Google a look into the Richmond region's bike future, and you can find it there.
Okay, and also on your website?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's the Partnership for Smarter Growth website again?
You can go to psgrichmond.org.
psgrichmond.org, so you could also find out some more information about the forum and how to register there. If there are more slots available,
yes.
I'm sure they'll all be snapped up by the end of the show. So Max, remind us too where we can learn more about the goals of Bike Walk RVA.
You can go to sportsbackers.org and under initiatives, there's a Bike Walk RVA option.
Terrific, great. So looking at the forum, what are some of the other issues that might be discussed at the forum aside from just the public policy or the infrastructure needs? Sort of how are you going to take that forum as a platform to further your message?
Sure. Well, I think that bike infrastructure is just the one step in a comprehensive look and action plan on smarter transportation choices for the region. So I think that this is a natural leeway into discussions about pedestrian infrastructure and safety, public transportation options, because a lot of people, you know, may not be able to bike to work, but they could bike to the closest bus stop, put their bike on a bus, and then take that into work or something like that. So I think this will be a great gateway into larger discussions about the overall transportation system in the region.
So comprehensive transit, public
yes.
transportation?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And there are a lot of great initiatives in studies or in the works or being talked about around the region. So I think that it's vital at this point to sort of look at them comprehensively and combine the best ideas we can come up with to really you know, sustain the transportation options that we have now and improve them.
Right. So looking ahead, like maybe a couple of years from now, I know there's a deadline for some projects related to the race that's coming up in 2015. So how, does that race in 2015 sort of provide, I don't know, a leverage point for getting some of these projects off the ground or getting movement on them?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a big benchmark for how we're doing as a region. All eyes of the world are going to be on Richmond in 2 years, and we want world-class bike infrastructure to show off at a world-class event. But once the race is over and the people have left town, we have to continue because there's only so much progress you can make in 2 years. We're definitely trying to identify the highest impact projects we can build now, but that's not going to necessarily build us a comprehensive network across the region. And so it'll take longer than that, but this is a great way to start.
Mm-hmm. You talked about the investment in infrastructure, and I hinted at it before, but getting back to that issue of public awareness, does Bike Walk RVA have some maybe campaigns in mind to raise the level of awareness? And I guess what I'm thinking is that sometimes I ride my bike and with my family, so my husband will have our child in a trailer, and I always, you know, kind of grit my teeth because I feel like we're taking a risk, and I wonder, am I risking my child's life by going out on a bike? And it should be a reasonable transportation option, but until that culture really changes, I feel like I'm still really nervous about it. So what can we do? So not everybody's going to bike. What can we do to help people understand that there's still value, even though you're not getting on a bike, there's still value to respecting the space of bicyclists on the road?
Well, I think teaching a mutual respect for the need to get around is really important. Sportsbackers is partnering with some of our friends in the Greater Richmond Bicycle Coalition, like Ride Richmond, to do some of these more, you know, public awareness campaigns. We're also working with some students at VCU, urban planning grad students, who are interested in planning out an awareness campaign, not just for bicycling in general, but the types of infrastructure that we're going to see in the years to come. Things that Richmond hasn't built yet need to be sort of taught how to behave around that. And if you're a cyclist, if you're traveling on it, what to do, how to be safe.
The rules of the road.
The rules of the road.
Yeah. Well, you know, and that you said mutual respect as well. And I think it does go both ways because for Bicycle Lab, because of course you'll say cars need to respect bikes, but it goes both ways,
absolutely,
right? And I think that one of the worst things for advancing bike culture is to have bicyclists out there that are running lights and weaving through traffic. And I sound like I'm, you know, some old person, like, no, your kid's out there. But it does frustrate me because I feel like it's counterproductive when we are seeing some progress happen in the Richmond community. But
how about this? Why don't I say it? If you're on a bike, stop at stop signs and stop at red lights, because if you don't, you're making it a lot harder out there for the rest of us.
Right. And I think this goes back to the infrastructure question. We have to think about what are the right kind of investments to make in the region. So this also goes back to the topic of share roads versus bike lanes that are dedicated and separated from the road. PSG supports, you know, infrastructure improvements in general, but with bike lanes, bicyclists and motorists get that sense of safety that I think would really increase bike usage and that mutual respect that you guys talked about.
Yeah, that's a good point. The right kind mm-hmm. of investments. And the forum on Thursday, we're going to hear from DC, where they have made some really good positive investments and maybe made some investments that weren't as good, and we can learn from their mistakes
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
Good. And who is the individual that's coming again?
His name's Jim Sebastian.
Uh-huh.
And he manages the bike program
for the whole district, the Department of Transportation. Great.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. Well, if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Inspire Indeed on WRIR 97.3 FM. And if you haven't gathered so far, we're talking about bicycling in Richmond and what we have coming up in the future. And there's a forum on Thursday that's going to highlight this subject where you can learn more. And Rianne, why don't you share with us how to find out more about that forum?
Sure. There are a couple of ways to register for the forum and look at The information about it, you can go to rvabikeforum.eventbrite, that's BRITE.com, or you can go to the Partnership for Smarter Growth website at psgrichmond.org and look at our upcoming events, and we'll have all the information posted there.
Great, thank you. Now, if you're not able to engage in the forum, you're not able to register or busy this week or whatever, but you want to learn more, how can our listeners get involved with what we're talking about today?
On the Bike Walk RVA side, we have a pretty informational email list. We don't bombard people, but send out important action alerts, and you can subscribe for that at sportsbackers.org.
Go to sportsbackers.org, and there's a Bike Walk RVA page where you can sign up for like an email listserv.
Yep, email list and other updates, and also ways to volunteer.
Great.
Love volunteers.
Great, terrific. Well, that's very helpful to know about. Well, as usual, time is running out on us, but I do want to take a moment to thank you, Max Hep Buchanan of Sports Backers.
Thanks for having me.
Director of Bike Walk RVA. It's mm-hmm. been great to have you. And Brianne Mullen, who is Executive Director of Partnership for Smarter Growth. It's been a pleasure to have you.
Thanks so much for having me.
Great. Well, I also want to take a moment to thank my fellow volunteers here at WRIR. People like Jay Westerman, who helps out on the technical side of getting this live show on the air, and Brittany Tracy, who makes sure we keep the Inspire Indeed blog up to date. And you can hear this show as well as previous shows on that blog, and that's at inspireindeed.blogspot.com. And then there's Jesse Johnson, who's our Mr. Dependable, always managing the soundboard here each Tuesday at volunteer-powered WRIR 97.3 FM, Richmond Independent Radio. If you'd like to join our team, you can go to wrir.org to learn how to volunteer, as well as donate to help keep this local voice on the airwaves. Thanks to those of you who recently donated during the amazing raise, but don't worry, you'll all have another chance in our upcoming pledge drive, so stay tuned for that. My name is Elaine Summerfield, and you've been listening to Inspire Indeed, a show that focuses on community issues through the lens of nonprofits and change makers who are working to make a difference. I hope you learned something new on the show today and are ready to go out and make a difference with your deeds.